Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at something that I think is really interesting. It's the idea of generosity. We are basing this on Dr. Ayo Adewuja's teaching on 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And, you know, it's not just a simple, like, how-to guide on giving, but something a lot richer. Dr. Adewuja kind of connects this ancient wisdom to our lives today. And I'm already fascinated by, like, how much there is to uncover about generosity, about its ripple effects, both practically and even spiritually.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how these teachings can still be relevant for us today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he was encouraging them back then to kind of complete their contribution to the church in Jerusalem. But it still reveals a lot about the psychology of giving. Like, where is that fine line between inspiring generosity and then putting on the pressure?
Yeah, because it's not just a straightforward ask, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did Paul navigate that? How did he kind of try and walk that tightrope there?
Well, he uses this really fascinating rhetorical technique that Dr. Adewuja pointed out. It's called a paralysis. I'm curious, have you ever heard of this?
Paralysis? Not that I know of. What is that?
Okay, so it's kind of where Paul, it's like he dismisses a topic. It's almost like he's saying, oh, this isn't even important enough to talk about. But then he comes back and dives right in with even more force.
Oh, so it's like that thing where you say, oh, I don't even need to remind you about that big project deadline, but oh, it's next Friday. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example. It's a clever way to kind of grab their attention and subtly remind them about a commitment they've made.
Right.
And in the very first verse of chapter 9, Paul does this brilliantly. He writes, now it is not necessary for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints, but then boom, the whole chapter is about that.
That's so funny, but I can see how that would be effective.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Dr. Adewuja also mentioned this concept of honor and shame in the ancient world. How does that factor into all of this?
Well, in the ancient Mediterranean culture, failing to keep your word wasn't just a social faux pas.
Right.
It brought deep shame upon you, almost to the point where, like, it was considered worse than death.
Wow. Okay, so that's a totally different perspective than we have. You know, you think about these pledge drives and stuff, they just feel a lot more, well, high stakes.
Absolutely. Dr. Adewuja even mentioned, like, there's a nation today where this value is still so strong that people might choose death over dishonor.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine that pressure the Corinthians were feeling. Paul had to motivate them, but also avoid, like, heaping on more shame if they didn't follow through.
So how did he walk that line? What was his approach to doing that?
Well, that's where he introduces this powerful agricultural metaphor.
Oh, okay.
It's the sowing and reaping metaphor.
Yeah.
He says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And this principle would have resonated both with the Jewish and the Greco-Roman thought at the time, you know, that there's a universal law of giving and receiving.
It is interesting how that idea has stuck around, the sowing and reaping. We still use it today.
Oh, absolutely.
But I guess the question is, does it apply to more than just our finances?
And that's exactly the point that Dr. Adewuja emphasizes.
Okay.
That it's not just about money. It's this law of reciprocity.
Right.
And how it can apply to so many areas of life.
Yeah.
If we think about it, we're constantly sowing, whether it's our time or our energy or our kindness, even our knowledge. And then the harvest that we reap will often reflect what we have sown.
Okay, so I am starting to see where this is going.
Yeah.
So if we sow negativity, we're likely to reap more of that. But if we sow generosity and kindness and love, then that's what's going to come back to us.
Precisely. And, you know, Dr. Adewuja points out something really fascinating about the word generously in the original Greek.
Okay.
It's connected to the word eulogia, and that's where we get our word eulogy.
I never realized that. So generous giving is almost like a form of blessing or praise, like a eulogy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's as if we're offering praise and honor to God and to others through our generosity. And that's really where Dr. Adewuja encourages us to think about it. How might this sowing and reaping principle apply to other areas of our lives beyond finances? It's such a powerful concept to consider, don't you think?
It really is. It makes you stop and think about all the different ways that we can sow, in quotes, in our lives, and what kind of harvest we're actually cultivating.
Yeah.
It really does make you think. It makes you think about, okay, how are we sowing and what are we going to reap at the end of the day? But Dr. Adewuja also emphasized this point that God isn't just calling us to give, but that he actually is the ultimate example of generosity. Would you say that's right?
Absolutely. And that's a key point. God's grace, as Paul describes it, is not simply about forgiveness, but also about empowerment. It empowers us to give. You know, Dr. Aduya brought up this thought-provoking idea that, like, the two graces of the Christian life are giving and forgiving.
Wow. The two graces. Giving and forgiving. That really puts things into perspective. When we think about God's nature being inherently generous, like, it makes you consider how reflecting that generosity in our own lives, you know, could really create a ripple effect.
Precisely. And that leads to another really crucial point that Dr. Aduya raised, which is that giving goes beyond simply meeting physical needs. You know, there are deeper spiritual implications at play.
That's interesting because Paul uses the word, I think it's liturgia, when he talks about giving. And of course, that's where we get our word liturgy.
Right. It suggests that giving is more than just a transaction. You know, it's an act of worship. It's an act of service.
So this financial offering for the Jerusalem church, it wasn't just about the money. It was also about strengthening unity,
yeah,
you know, between the Jewish and Gentile believers.
Exactly. Imagine the impact when different parts of the church, you know, came together, supporting each other, praying for one another. It paints a beautiful picture of what generosity can accomplish.
And then there's that powerful conclusion to Paul's letter where he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." What a statement, huh?
And that most likely refers to Jesus, God's ultimate gift. And when we kind of view it in that light, it becomes the ultimate motivation for our own generosity. We give because we've first been given to.
It's a beautiful cycle of giving. Dr. Aduya confirmed that Paul's appeal to the Corinthians was ultimately successful. It's proof that heartfelt persuasion can be really powerful.
Absolutely. It shows that when we understand the deeper meaning and impact of giving, it becomes less about obligation and more about joy and gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, it's about reflecting the heart of God.
So we've talked about the historical context, Paul's rhetoric, the spiritual depth of giving. Let's try to make this practical for our listeners. Like, what are some key takeaways we can apply to our lives today?
Well, Dr. Aduya emphasized three main points. First, we need to give with the right spirit, a cheerful and generous attitude. It ensures a truly bountiful harvest. Remember that principle of sowing and reaping? It applies here too.
But it's not just about receiving more in return, is it?
No, not at all. It's about the heart behind our giving. Giving grudgingly, out of obligation, won't produce the same results as giving joyfully and freely. You know, it's about aligning our hearts with God's heart, which is a heart of abundance and generosity. Have you ever experienced that difference yourself?
I have, yeah. You know, I've definitely had times where I felt obligated to give and it just felt heavy.
Right.
But then there are other times when giving is truly joyful. It's like you're excited to be part of something better than yourself. And the impact, well, the impact is just totally different.
Exactly. It's about tapping into that flow of generosity that comes from God. What do you think the second takeaway would be?
Well, Dr. Aduya mentioned that God provides abundantly so that we can share abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God's grace is meant to flow through us to others.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's like a river of generosity where God is the source. And then we become like the channels through which that generosity flows out into the world.
And lastly, what was that third takeaway?
Well, the third point is that giving has profound spiritual effects that go beyond material needs. Remember how Paul connected giving with worship and service, you know, with that word liturgia?
Right.
It's about more than just meeting physical needs.
So it's about expressing our gratitude to God and being a part of his work in the world.
Exactly. When we give generously, we're not just giving money. We're giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our resources, in a way that honors God and blesses others.
So it's a holistic approach to giving, where our actions are aligned with our beliefs and values.
Precisely. And that's what makes Dr. Aduya's deep dive into 2 Corinthians 9 so insightful. It's not about guilt or pressure. It's about seeing generosity as this joyful expression of God's grace, like a powerful force for good in the world.
It's a shift in perspective that can really transform our lives and the lives of those around us, wouldn't you say?
I completely agree. And that's the beauty of it. You know, when we embrace generosity, we open ourselves up to a world of possibilities, both for ourselves and for others. It's a journey of faith, trust, and abundance.
You know, it's funny because we often talk about the blessings of giving, but Dr. Aduya also emphasized the importance of receiving with gratitude. Why do you think that is such a vital piece of the generosity puzzle?
Oh, that's such a great point. You know, generosity, it's not a one-way street.
Right.
It's about both giving and receiving with open hearts. And when we receive graciously, we acknowledge the generosity of others and allow ourselves to be blessed.
It completes the circle, doesn't it? Gratitude becomes that bridge between the giver and the receiver.
Absolutely. And you know that gratitude often inspires us to then give even more generously. So it creates this beautiful ripple effect of kindness and generosity that just spreads outward.
It's amazing how something as seemingly simple as giving can have such a profound impact, spiritually, practically. What stands out to you as the most surprising aspect of this whole conversation?
You know, I think it's the reminder that even small acts of generosity can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Whether we're giving our time, our talents, our resources, like every act of giving has the power to transform lives, including our own.
And sometimes the most unexpected blessings come from being on the receiving end of someone else's generosity. I've definitely experienced that. And it just changes your whole perspective.
It really does. Generosity is a two-way street. It's about giving and receiving with open hearts and a spirit of gratitude.
You know, Dr. Oduya's session has really challenged me to think about generosity in a new light. It's not just about like a financial transaction or checking something off a list.
It's about a posture of the heart, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
A willingness to share what we have, whether that's our time, our talent, resources, or simply a listening ear.
And to do it with joy and gratitude, recognizing that we're taking part in something much bigger than ourselves.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into generosity, what is one final thought you would like to leave our listeners with?
I think it's important to remember that generosity, it isn't just for the wealthy or those who feel like they have a lot to spare.
Right.
It's for everyone, regardless of their circumstances.
Because even the smallest act of kindness can have a ripple effect. Exactly. Whether it's a kind word, a helping hand, or a donation to a cause close to your heart, every act of generosity matters.
And it all begins with a willingness to just open our hearts and share what we have, however big or small that is. It's about recognizing that we're all blessed in different ways and that we all have something unique to offer.
That's right. And when we choose to share those blessings, we make a difference in the lives of others while also enriching our own lives. Generosity is a gift that keeps on giving, both to the giver and to the receiver.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive into the heart of generosity. Dr. Oduya's insights from 2 Corinthians 9 have challenged us to think differently about giving. You know, see it as a joyful expression of God's grace and a force for good in the world. If you're looking for a way to connect with that spirit of generosity in your own life, consider this. What seeds of generosity can you plant today? It might be something small, but even the tiniest seed can grow into something beautiful and life-giving. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.